So we'll go to our second scripture reading, which is from the Epistle of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. Please listen for the word of the Lord. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who live their lives, were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. David does most of the grocery shopping in our household. And last week he came home with limited edition Oreo cookies, marshmallow moons. Marshmallow-flavored cream in a beautiful lavender color between two chocolate cookie discs with pictures moon-themed baked into the cookie. Not too shabby. It came out, of course, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. One small step for man, one small step for the cookie into my glass of milk. There have been specials on TV and in magazines and in newspapers commemorating this anniversary. I read an article in the Morning Call last week about a woman who lives in Lower Macungie, a local woman, one of the only women in the control room during the Apollo 11 mission in 1969. I may not have been alive for the Apollo missions or the moon landing, but seeing all of these things this week, I, for one, have found myself looking up just a little more this week. These people were amazing. Can you imagine being the first person to put your foot on the lunar landscape? No one, not a single person in the human race, will be able to make that claim ever again. Only Neil Armstrong will be able to say that his was the first footprint on the moon. I've got goosebumps. Pioneers are incredible. Pioneers know what it means to go first because somebody has to go first. Someone always has to be the first person to do anything. That's how the first time gets done. Someone goes first. Pioneers go first, bringing light to dark places, proving that the way forward is at least a possibility. Pioneers take that one small step for man and one huge step and leap for mankind. And whether they wear the space helmets of Buzz and Neil or coon hats like Lewis and Clark, trekking their way through the wild, wild west, pioneers do their part to make the world a better place. They envision a better future, and they reach for it with their whole being. We need pioneers in our world. We need visionaries who step out in faith exploring strange new worlds and boldly going where no man or woman has gone before. You probably know a pioneer or two who has been that person in your life that has pioneered the way for you to do what it is you do. Thank God for pioneers. They bring some comfort to the ones watching. There is comfort in watching pioneers go first because they go first, not you. When I took piano lessons as a kid, I remember during recitals, my piano teacher always made sure that the ones who played first were ones who had played first before or had been through recitals before. Sometimes, even if we have this pioneer spirit, it's a comfort for others to go first when it's something new, something different. There's a sense of comfort that comes from having someone create the way, someone who can blaze the trail and make sure that it's safe for us to proceed, or at least possible. I imagine many of us occasionally enjoy knowing that it's at least safe to proceed because someone else has already paved the way. Certainly, it makes things easier on us. I imagine the community of Hebrews felt that way too. Last week, we talked about how the writer of Hebrews clears the playing field. The writer brings us back to the center, back to the basics, back to our anchor where Jesus is. Jesus is at the center, at the heart of everything we do and everything we say. We talked about how Jesus himself gives us the energy to go forth into the world, to move forward. And the path we take is one Jesus has already taken. Hebrews is the only book of the Bible that uses the word pioneer, uses it twice, both times to describe Jesus. Here in Hebrews 2, and again in Hebrews 12, where we read that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Imagine Jesus as a pioneer, as someone who went ahead of us, clearing the pathway so that we know it's okay to move forward. Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. Salvation, this big churchy word that basically means we are saved. Saved from the power of death, from the very fear of death. We're saved from sin. And Hebrews tells us Jesus was the perfect person to do this, to save us, because he knew what it was like to be like us. Everything he experienced, from the good to the suffering, everything made him what Hebrews 12 calls him, the perfecter and the pioneer of our faith. Perfecter doesn't mean perfect in the sense that we usually think of it. Perfect here means complete, a sense of wholeness. Jesus experienced the whole gamut of human emotion. The anger and the joy, the frustrations and the sorrow, the humor of this universe. He can perfect our faith because he gets us. And don't we try to look for leaders who get us? When we vote for our favorite candidates, we tend to vote for the people that we think get us. We figure if they understand what it's like to be me, then more than likely they can do a good job helping me. That's the logic of Hebrews 2, that Jesus understands what it's like to be us, and so he is the perfect one to help us. He can be the pioneer of our salvation. It's remarkable that Jesus came, as one writer said, not as a puppy dog and not as a dolphin, not even as an angel, but chose to come as a human being. He chose to come as a human being. And Jesus makes us one with God by making us one with himself. And the second part of that is that Jesus makes us one with each other. We're told in the Hebrews, for this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And making us brothers and sisters with himself, he makes us brothers and sisters with each other. He says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Hebrews tells us Jesus basically adopted us as siblings. Jesus pioneered our salvation, making the way forward possible. Not always easy. Hebrews 2 doesn't deny suffering, doesn't deny that there will be bumps in the road. But Jesus opened the road and made it possible. The really good news here is that Jesus has already done the heavy lifting, the hard labor. That salvation bit, Jesus already took care of it. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace that we have been saved, not the result of anything we did so that we can't boast about it. Jesus already did it." That takes a ton of pressure off of us. I think that's the fear of death that Hebrews talks about. It's that fear of not knowing what happens after, of not knowing if you were good enough, if not knowing if you did something wrong. Jesus takes care of that, so we don't have to be anxious or stress. Jesus does it. Someone once asked me if I was able to save him because I was going to be a pastor. He said, "Well, does that mean you can save me?" And I said, "No, I am in sales, not management." Our task isn't to save anyone. As I've heard it said, our task is not conversion, but conversation. Our task is to walk the way that Jesus walked, in the hope of Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good. Our task is to get on the road, to follow Jesus' example, being one with God and one with one another. Both of these things are so important in the Christian experience. Everything begins and ends with Jesus, our Alpha and Omega, the one who taught us to love God and to love each other as we love ourselves. This is mirrored here in Hebrews 2. The act of being one with God, of loving God with our whole beings, and being one with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus makes it possible for us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And like siblings, sometimes we struggle with the whole unity thing. It is easy to love your neighbor when you get along with them. It is harder when you disagree. And we have seen plenty of disagreements. These days, everything is so polarized. These days, it seems like everything has the potential to become an argument. Even just this past week, listening to people on both sides of the aisle trying to explain why a statement is or isn't racist, I'm not sure we listen well to each other anymore. These days, it seems like both sides are screaming so loudly that no one can hear anyone. Sometimes I think if we just learned how to listen again, we could strive back to that unity that we pray for. To me, that's a huge part of what it looks like to be on this trail that Jesus blazed. It looks like us being one with God and one with each other, praying and working towards unity, not just with God, not just on that vertical axis of the cross, but horizontally on this plane that we share. Building relationships, restoring that unity. I think that's what we're about. I think that's why we're here. It's our call as Christians, as a church, as a body of Christ. We're here to build relationships, not arguments. We build relationships in mission, in partnering with the agencies and the missionaries who are doing amazing things in this world. We build relationships in our Christian formation, our discipleship program, how we teach our kids and our youth, how we nurture them in the faith. We build relationships when we visit homebound members, when we send birthday cards or thinking of you cards. You'll see in your bulletin in the insert a column, our homebound members, inviting us all to be deacons in our own rights, and how we care for our facility and the financial work of the church. Think about your relationships. Both inside the church and out of the church, you get along not because of the things that divide you, but because of the common ground you find. Our common interests, common goals, shared values, shared stories. Let our faith in Christ be a part of that shared story. Let our love for Christ be a starting point with any conversation where we might disagree with someone, and sometimes at least disagree with love when you have to. Discipleship begins with declaring that Jesus is Lord, and then committing to walk in the light as he is in the light, ready to share what we believe because we believe it with all of our heart, with all of our being, and because sharing and living that story brings us joy. And not because we feel like we have to rush into the battlefield. Jesus doesn't need defenders. He told Peter when Peter drew out the sword, "I don't need your sword." This unity with God and with each other is a gift. Is it any wonder that this passage actually in Hebrews, it usually comes up in the lectionary at Christmas time as a reminder of how God took his love and his word and he wrapped flesh around it and named it Emmanuel, God with us. It was something completely new. God did something completely new in Christ. So Jesus was the perfect one to pioneer our salvation. Jesus himself said, "I am the way." Jesus created this new way for us to walk. That's what it means for Jesus to be the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In a few weeks, we'll get to the passage in Hebrews where it talks about other pioneers of the faith, the people who have gone before us, and we'll talk about modern-day pioneers and how that pioneer spirit can live in us too. But for today, we rest here in Hebrews 2, comforted in the ways that Jesus went first. Jesus was a pioneer. Jesus could be our helper and our pioneer because Jesus went first and because he got us. Jesus is one with us because he's just like us. And so he could go first, making us one with himself, and then making us one with each other. Walking on the path that Jesus paved means doing the best we can with what we've been given, to strive to be one with God, to strive to be one with each other, to work again towards unity, not just between that vertical plane, but on the horizontal as well. Jesus is our example, so let us strive to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen.